Well, as long as I have the Bible in my hand, how about I read the scripture? The word of the Lord this morning comes from Luke 24, starting with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen visions of an angel who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Amanda. Well, here at Westside Church, we have been doing a teaching series through the Gospel of Luke, and so it's really fitting that today we would talk about Easter through the lens of this story found in Luke, the Road to Emmaus, a popular story. Probably many of you have heard it before, maybe even on an Easter Sunday. But it's a story that personally, for me, I really resonate with. I mean, there's something about the story that just gets to my heart. It gets to my spirit. And I think for many of us, even as Amanda was reading that, we were probably moved and just drawn to this story. And so it's a story of these two disciples walking on a road, taking a journey, and Jesus meets them on that journey. But the condition of their spirits because of what they have gone through in recent days is really what draws my attention. And I think oftentimes, at least for many of you, you may be like me and you've heard this story oftentimes. I was raised in the church, and so I heard it in Sunday school, and I've heard it, of course, timeless Easter services, and time after time after time, I've heard this story, and many of us have heard this story. And when you've heard a story, I think oftentimes you have a hard time putting yourself within it and grasping and understanding the feelings and the emotions of those who are going through it. And so, you know, just imagine being these two disciples and knowing that Jesus was crucified on the cross. He's dead. Your hopes, your dreams, this movement that you have been a part of is now over, and the devastation of that. That's what they are going through. And I think oftentimes we look at the Easter story and we think that Peter and James and John and Mary and all the other disciples are huddled around each other on Sunday morning, and as the sun is rising up, they're looking at the tomb with expectation. You know, 3, 2, 1, Easter! Happy Easter, everyone! He is risen! You know, let's go hide eggs! Let's find them! Let's celebrate! You know, and that's just not the way that it was. In fact, what do we find? The disciples are huddled together in a safe house, afraid for their lives that they're going to be arrested. They are not expecting resurrection. It is the furthest thing from their minds. They're all dealing with disappointment, disillusionment, confusion, fear. Are we next? Are we going to be arrested? Resurrection didn't even register in their minds. It was not a possibility. For them, they had no faith. There were no Christians before Easter. Christians came along after Easter, after Jesus appeared, after the resurrection that defeated death, hell, and the grave, and they had something to talk about, right? I mean, that was the birth of Christianity, but before then, there was nothing, right? There was no faith. There was only defeat and death and disappointment, and that is the condition of these disciples as they are taking this journey back home. In fact, I think the fact that they are taking a journey back home kind of tells us where they were at. It was like, let's fold it up, let's hang it up, let's go home. The movement is over. And so as they are journeying back home, the story is called The Road to Emmaus, they are taking this journey and all of a sudden a man comes and walks alongside them. We're told that it's Cleopas and another disciple. The other disciple is unnamed. And maybe for you and I, as we are looking at this story, we can kind of enter into this story under the alias of that unnamed disciple. Let's be the unnamed disciple and take this journey with Jesus and see what we don't discover along the way. Because Jesus, he's taking a physical journey with them, but he moves them through a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual journey of transformation as they move from death to life. As they take the disappointment, the disillusionment, the fear and the anxiety over what they have just experienced, Jesus dying on the cross and a death to this thing that they had invested their very selves into, they are seeing that the embers are coming back to life, and they're experiencing in their hearts and their lives this sense that, oh wait, maybe God isn't done with us yet. Maybe this story is not over, right? Maybe there's something more for us to experience here. And I hope, and my hope and prayer this morning is that in whatever way you connect with this story, that God would do that same thing in your heart, in your spirit, take you through a journey of transformation, bring you back to life where there may be death and where maybe there may be disappointment, that he would encourage your spirit and uplift you this morning. And so let's take this journey with these disciples. Let's take on the alias of that unnamed disciple. Let's walk on this road and see what we can learn from Jesus, see what we can hear from Jesus this morning. Jesus moves these disciples out of where they are to where he wants them to be. And I believe by faith that God wants to move some of us from where we are in our faith disposition this morning to where he wants us to be. The first thing that Jesus does is he moves them from resignation to expectation. Resignation because they are resigned to defeat. It says, you know, their body language says it all, right? Jesus comes to them, and as they are explaining these things to him, it says that they stood still, their faces downcast. This is their body language. They are downcast. They are disappointed. They are afraid. They are sad, right? All of these emotions they are experiencing. Jesus had died just 3 days earlier. It was devastating for them. They had placed all their hope in the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. They had invested their lives in this movement, and here it had come to a crashing halt, right? All of a sudden, everything is gone. Everything is done. And I think that all of us have been through moments like that. Disillusionment, confusion, moments in which we had allowed our hearts to believe and to have hope, only to have those hopes ripped out from under us. I think we've all experienced times like those in the course of life. And these disciples are in that place. They're discouraged. They're experiencing a huge letdown. They say, we had hoped that Jesus was this. But the fact that they had hope says that they no longer felt that hope. And so they are in this place where their hopes, their dreams, had been nailed to the cross with Jesus, had been buried with him in the tomb. And we've all been there at one time or another. If you think about it, many of us, we struggle through relational problems, right? Where we've come to this place of resignation. Maybe it was loss or tragedy that hit your life at an unexpected time. Maybe it was a diagnosis that radically changed the way you viewed God. Maybe it was an announcement at work that your position was no longer required, and the journey that puts you through, it was difficult, it was hard. It produced a great deal of stress and strain, and we've all been there. We've all had seasons like that in life. Life has this way of consistently and regularly ripping our hopes and dreams out of our hands and just dashing them on the floor, and we are just left to say, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with my faith? I mean, God, are you alive? Are you looking? Are you watching? And is there anything that you would like to say? I mean, how do I deal with what I'm experiencing? And I don't know what kind of burdens that you've dragged in with you this morning, but one thing I want you to know is, and one thing I believe this story all too clearly tells us, is that Jesus is walking with you. Jesus is walking with you on the journey. And here's what is so cool. They don't even see it. They don't even recognize him, right? They can't even see that it is Jesus. Maybe they're overwhelmed by their own burden, by their sadness, by their fear. They can't see him, but he is there. He's walking with them. And through the course of time, as he is conversing with him, they feel this burning in their spirits. They feel faith come alive within them. They feel this sense of God's presence, and something is stirring. And in a moment's time, he's revealed, and then he's gone. But the residue of that experience stays with them. And they say, weren't our hearts burning as he was explaining these things to us? Weren't our spirits coming alive as he was exploring the scriptures with us? All of a sudden, there is this sense of faith, and they're resigned to defeat, but they're moving from that resignation to expectation. They are beginning to ask the question of, could it be true that hope is alive, that this was God's plan all along, that the cross was not a defeat, the cross was a victory? Could it be true? Could this just be a moment in our story, but the rest of the story is about to unfold, and that there's more of the story that God wants to tell, and he wants to tell it through us? And could it be true that if God defeated death, hell, and the grave, that anything is possible, right? Anything is possible. And all of a sudden, they're coming alive. They're moving from resignation to expectation. They're experiencing this transformation. I know for me, a moment like this, for me, happened in high school, where God really captured my attention. And I was 16 years old and had gone through a very difficult couple of years. My parents had pastored a church for a number of years before that, and things had gone badly. The church doors closed, and my parents were both struggling with that. It wasn't necessarily personally devastating for me, but I certainly felt the pain and the loss that they had experienced. And as a family, my parents just didn't have the capacity to return back to church, at least not immediately. They were struggling with that and dealing with that. And I was, you know, 16, I was a teenager. I was like, yeah, I could live without church, you know, more time on Sunday morning, sleep in, great, you know, fine with me. And that started to kind of set in for me as a teenager. And I had just resigned myself to live my life without God. It wasn't really an interest for me. It wasn't something that was really alive within me. And I was fine with that. You know, I had other things to pursue. I was 16 years old. I had my whole life in front of me. And that was all great. That was all good with me. And through the course of time, I started to rebel. I was dealing with, you know, those typical things that happen as a teenager, and struggling and just kind of exhibiting behavior that just wasn't me. My mom took notice first, and she one day tried to persuade me that I needed to go to this Christian camp. And it was a camp in Montana. It was with my sister and her church that she was involved with. And my mom had said, we haven't been going to church. And I just want you to have an experience with God. And that was the furthest thing from my mind. I mean, I did not want to go and spend a week at camp with a bunch of Christian kids. That sounded like absolute torture to me. So I refused. I hardened my heart against it. And I remember one day my mom came to me and through tears, she was begging and pleading with me to go and attend this camp. And through shame and through guilt, my mother won me over and I actually begrudgingly went to this camp. And so I went to the camp and I met a few people, and I actually met one guy in particular, ended up becoming a very good friend of mine, one of my best friends, and I had a good experience. But it was one night in particular that I will never forget. It was a night where God really grabbed my attention. He got a hold of me in a way that I'd never experienced. And again, I'm only 16 years old, almost 17, but God spoke to me in that moment. And it was my Emmaus Road experience where the Spirit of God was on me and he was speaking to me in a way that made something inside me just burn, right? Something just went from death to life, and I experienced this transformation as all of a sudden there was this new hope, this new faith that God wanted to do something with my life. And it was like I was having a conversation with an old friend. A friend that I remembered vaguely, you know, from my childhood. I remembered what it was like to experience faith, but as experiencing it again for the first time, and yet it was a distant memory. It was this beautiful moment, and all I could describe it as is, yes, like a flame burning again in my heart. Something came alive. God moved me from resignation to saying, I can live my life without God, to this new hope and expectation of all that God wanted to do in and through me through the course of my life. And of course, that was a moment for me. That was a calling for me. And I became a follower of Jesus in that moment as he moved me from resignation to expectation, as hope returned and faith came alive in my heart. But there's another thing that Jesus does for these disciples. He moves them from pain to perspective. As we take a closer look at what Jesus shares with them, you'll notice that it says that he comes to them and he says, how foolish you are not to see it, not to believe after everything that has been said about me, about Jesus in the story of your scriptures. This is your history, your people, your ancestors, right? And he takes them through their story. And it's so cool because he goes back thousands of years, you know, from Moses and through the prophets, and look at the faithfulness of God. Look at his providence. See how he has never left you or forsaken you through all the things that you have been through. He has always been present. He has always been there. His love for you has never failed. And Jesus takes them through this story. And he says, this is some perspective, right? I mean, you're in the throes of sadness, disappointment, you're overwhelmed with this experience of disillusionment and fear. But this is just a moment. Get some perspective. Gain some perspective. This is a moment in the story, and a moment is powerful. A moment can be all-consuming. The pain of a moment can crush you. The disillusionment of a moment can be so confusing and disorientating. We can go to a very dark place in just a moment's time. I was recalling an experience I had with a friend in junior high, and not to minimize, you know, some of the deep and painful things that many of us have been through, but just to illustrate the pain of a moment, a friend of mine in eighth grade was going through a relationship, and he was more advanced than I was. I was a late bloomer, let's just call it that. I was a late bloomer, and he was way into girls. He enjoyed working out because he knew that girls liked ripped guys, you know, and he had the frosted tips in his hair. You know, some of you used to do that back in the 80s and 90s when that was cool. He was into the frosted tips because chicks dug that. And so he was positioning himself and had landed a real, true, bona fide girlfriend, right? And so he had a girlfriend. And it was a first for me, even, you know, as a friend, just like, whoa, you can get a girlfriend? Like, what? Like, this is happening? And so they were holding hands in public. They were kissing and all this kind of stuff. And I was kind of experiencing it with him at the same time, just like, whoa, like the world was changing. And I remember one day, I think it was probably a couple weeks later, you know, how these things go. And his room was dark and I walked in and there was just, his complexion had changed, right? There was something different about him. And of course, he explained to me that she had moved on. She had dumped him for another guy, and he was devastated. And it was amazing how joy and bliss could turn in an instant to misery and devastation and pain. And as I was talking with him, I mean, it sounded like the world had ended, right? I mean, this is the only woman that I could ever love. All the love that was in my heart I'd invested, and she just broke it and tore it, and it's gone now, and I don't know if I'll ever recover. And I was feeling it in that moment, right? I felt it in my junior high self. It was like, yeah, you know, like this is, I don't know if you're going to recover, right? I mean this is terrible, right? And it was so painful for him. And, you know, that happens in a moment's time. And again, not to minimize what you may have been through in your life, but it is so true in traumatic situations where we're experiencing pain and hardship. Man, it is so easy to go to that place. It is so easy to be overwhelmed by the emotion of a moment and to become hopeless because of a moment. But Jesus is speaking to these disciples in their pain and in their hardship, and he's saying, hey, let's have some perspective. You know, let's go back. Let's look at how God has walked with you through the course of history. And even now, this is just a moment. God has a future for you. He has a plan for you. He has some place he wants to take you. And so I need to move you from the pain of this moment to a place of perspective where you can see from a higher place who God is and where you are right now in the course of your journey, to know that God has not given up on you yet. He has something for you in the future. Do you see it? Do you feel it? Do you sense it? Do you know it? He's trying to revive their faith and move them from the pain of the moment to a place of perspective. Finally, Jesus takes them on a journey from suffering to glory. And he brings his own story into this point because Jesus has gone from suffering to glory. One of the points that Jesus drives home to these disciples is just simply this. Isn't it true that the Messiah had to go through the cross? That he had to suffer these things in order to experience the glory that was to come? In order to experience the glory that was his? He had to go through the valley to be elevated to the mountaintop. He had to feel the weight of sin in order to bring us to a place of redemption. And it's the same for you and I, because Jesus models something for you and I. He is a forerunner for you and I. We are his disciples because we are called to walk in his footsteps and live our lives the way that he did. And so if Jesus goes from suffering to glory, then surely you and I will move from suffering to glory. Jesus explains to them all that the Messiah had to go through, all that the Messiah had to suffer. And he's essentially saying, this is the way of the disciple. You empty yourself of self. You lay down your life. You carry your cross. And it's in those moments that the life of God will fill you, that the power of God will deliver you, that the mercy and the grace of God will be sufficient for you. And it is precisely in the suffering and as we move out of the suffering that the glory of God is revealed. We are constantly moving from suffering to glory. And our suffering always has a purpose. Now, we may not see it in the moment. In fact, likely we won't see it in the moment, but we need faith. We need to have the eyes of faith to believe that our suffering has a purpose. The given time, God will bring perspective to our lives, that the glory of God will be revealed. He has a grand design. He has a perfect will. At some point in time, His peace, which transcends all understanding, will fill our hearts and our minds. It will make sense. We will understand. We may not intellectually get there, but through eyes of faith, we can believe, God, there is a purpose in this. There is a redemption in this. It may have been hard. It may have been painful. I may have suffered, but God, You will reveal Your glory even in this. Out of the ashes, hope will rise. It's our story. It's the story of the gospel. It's from Friday to Sunday. There's a transformation that takes place. We move from death to life. As we begin to close this morning, I'm just going to invite the band to come back up, if you would. And as we do close, I want to tell one last story of two other disciples, much more well-known. Two disciples being Peter and John, and sorry, not John, Judas. Peter and Judas were followers of Jesus. They were among the 12 disciples of Jesus. And both of them, believe it or not, have similar stories with very, very different outcomes. Both Peter and Judas had betrayed Jesus. They had betrayed Him in very painful and difficult ways, at least for Jesus. Judas, of course, betrayed Jesus to the Roman authorities. And a lot of scholars, they say, well, Judas's motivation was he wanted to force Jesus' hand. He wanted Him to prove who He was in all of His glory by defeating the Romans or by, you know, getting out of this imprisonment and this arrest. Peter, on the other hand, was there on the night that Jesus was being tried and people were asking him, aren't you a Nazarene? Aren't you one of the disciples? And three separate times Jesus predicted He would be so. Peter betrays Him in the most painful way. In John's gospel, it says that Jesus and Peter were within visual sight of each other. And the pain of that moment for Jesus, I imagine that as that rooster crowed the third time that Peter betrayed Him, that both Jesus and Peter, they knew what had been transacted. They knew what had happened. His faith had failed. He had betrayed His Savior in His most desperate moment. And again, the pain of that moment for Peter. He went through pain, and Judas went through pain, but there was a drastically different result. One of them was able to move from resignation to expectation, from pain to perspective, from suffering and glory, and the other was so devastated by the pain of the moment, he let it sink him and bury him, and he killed himself. Both men betrayed Jesus. One of them went on a journey of transformation. And again, I just want to invite you into this story because Jesus promised, and it's a prediction that has rung true time and time again in all of our lives, in this world, you will have trouble. You will. We will suffer. We will experience hardship. We will experience pain. And the question is, are we going to allow Jesus to do that work of transforming our hearts, bringing us back to life, bringing us to a place where we can hope and believe again that God is not done with us, but He wants to move us from death to life, that He wants to restore us, He wants to renew us, He wants to revive us in His love and His grace and His goodness. And if you'll allow me this morning, I just want to invite all of you to stand to your feet. And even as we want to enter this story, I just want to encourage you to take whatever you might be experiencing this season of your life, whatever pain, whatever hardship, whatever challenge or difficulty that you are going through right now, and let's bring it to Jesus. Let's bring it to Him, and let's allow Him to breathe His breath of life into us. Let's allow him to work through the power of his Holy Spirit to transform our lives, to transform our minds, to change the way we think about the things that we are experiencing. To know if God is a God who can defeat death, defeat hell, defeat the grave, that he truly and surely can overcome and help us come back to life from whatever it is that we are suffering through. So if you'd allow me to pray with you this morning, just close your eyes and let's just receive from Jesus his presence and his spirit that is here.